Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. As the Occupy Oakland encampment reestablished itself in front of City Hall last night, a candlelight vigil was held for Scott Olson, the Iraq War veteran who was apparently injured by a police projectile Tuesday evening. Matt Howard, a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War, was one of several veterans to speak.
We have an update on Scott's condition. He is conscious.
Hospitalized in critical condition, Olson's status has now been upgraded to fair. Claire Chadwick was one of the people who carried Olson away after finding him on the ground the night he was injured.
He was bleeding from the mouth.
He was bleeding from the mouth.
His eyes were rolling in the back of his head.
His eyes were rolling in the back of his head.
I screamed to the police.
I screamed to the police.
For medical assistance.
For medical assistance.
They did not give it to me.
They did not give it to me.
To Scott, rather.
Vigils for Olson were also held in numerous Occupy locations across the country, and donations are being collected to help pay for his medical care. Governor Jerry Brown has launched what's likely to be a long and bitter debate over the retirement benefits of government workers. Brown unveiled a pension reform plan yesterday that rolls back some of those benefits in years to come. It's going to be a tough sell. Not only do some in organized labor think it's too severe, but the governor's plan still may not help the state honor its long-term pension commitments. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has the story.
There's probably no eye of a needle more difficult to thread these days in politics than that of public worker pensions. The complexity of benefits, debates over retirement ages, and deficits in pension funds have bedeviled just about every elected leader that's tried to tackle them. Governor Jerry Brown's new 12-point plan is no less controversial. It relies on current public employees footing more of the bill for their retirements. And for future public employees, it would mean working longer and getting less generous benefits.
I've laid out what I think is a minimum that every plan in California ought to meet. And the minimum protects the taxpayer while being fair to the employees.
Fair, though, is in the eye of the beholder.
What the governor's proposed is placing too much of the burden on the back of the workers, and it's unfortunate, but we disagree.
Willie Pelote is the California director of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. He says Brown fails to take into account the concessions made by state workers under the last governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And I think once the public and the governor and his administration clearly understands the facts, then we'll know what needs to be fixed.
Labor leaders expressed frustration that some of what Brown appeared to want would not be negotiated through collective bargaining, but rather crafted in the legislature as a constitutional amendment to be placed on the November 2012 ballot. However, they do support some of Brown's proposals, including a ban on retirement benefits based on a final year's salary and perks. That can artificially spike pension benefits higher than they would have been otherwise. But perhaps the overriding question about Governor Brown's plan is, will it solve the problem of funding?
I've tried to do something that's legal, that'll save a hell of a lot of money going forward, and I think is fair.
The question of how much money the governor's pension changes would save is crucial. In these recessionary times, government contributions to employee pensions can mean fewer dollars for services and programs. The governor's finance team says his plan will save between $4 billion and $11 billion over the first 30 years. It's a good start, says one pension watcher, but not enough.
If indeed this saves only somewhere in the neighborhood of $11 billion, then clearly we have a lot more to do to dig out of that hole.
Joe Nation is a former Democratic Assembly member who now teaches at Stanford University. He believes the long-term unfunded commitments of local and state pensions is somewhere around $400 billion, though pension fund officials argue it's much less. Either way, Governor Brown's plan only seems to reduce the rate of pension debt. It doesn't pay it off, which Nation says could mean more fights over fewer dollars.
The cost is that all these other programs that we care about suffer, and we end up pushing costs to the next generation.
Governor Brown, though, is no doubt aware of how politics is the art of the possible, and as the next few months play out, it's likely a lot of his time will be spent trying to gauge how much pension reform is possible and how soon. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
As recently as July, foster children in at least three California counties were living in homes and care facilities where registered sex offenders also lived or worked. That's one of several findings in a new report by the California State Auditor. Stephanie Martin explains.
The audit released yesterday focused on just three of the state's 58 counties, Alameda, Fresno, and Sacramento, and there found over 1,000 addresses of licensed sex offenders matching the addresses of licensed foster care facilities and homes. Fresno Democratic Assemblyman Henry Perea requested the audit. At a press conference yesterday, he expressed shock at what it revealed.
It is currently not illegal for a sex offender to live in a foster home or any other state facility where there are children. Now this, to me, as a young father, is just appalling.
The audit also showed counties are struggling to meet the state's requirement that inspectors visit community care facilities at least once every 5 years. Howard Himes is the incoming director of the Fresno County Department of Social Services. He says his agency welcomed the audit, and it did find 17 sex offender and foster care address matches in Fresno. But a further investigation found 16 required no action.
There was either not a sex offender in that home, or they had, a complex, apartment complex that had, numbers, similar numbers or those pieces. So really, truly, when I say there was no issue, that meant there was not a sex offender in that particular home.
Auditors are now planning a similar review of Child Protective Services in Los Angeles County. For the California Report, I'm Stephanie Martin.
And that's the California Report for Friday, October 28th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller, Paul Lancour, and Howard Gelman. Sarah Bonn and Nina Thorson directed the show. Our interns are Rebecca Wolfson and Rigo Hernandez. The editor is Dan Brecky. The senior online editor is Gabriel Cohn. The producer is Victoria Maulion. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.